Welcome back, Jake.
It's a pleasure.
I'm not sure if you're aware, we were voted the number 5th best podcast on the internet, comics podcast.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I remember this.
Comics Bulletin, I think it was.
Yeah, it was Comics Bulletin.
Very reputable source for podcast voting. We have a big show. Biggest show we've ever done.
Oh, man. It's some big stuff came out this week.
We talk about new releases, digital books that hit our app, and then we'll read some golden oldies. You know, we pick some old books and we talk about them. And then we'll read your tweets live.
Very live.
To close out the show.
What's the question? I don't know what it is.
Have you read Ends of the Earth, the new Spidey book out this week?
Yeah. I haven't read this week's, though. No spoilers.
There was a moment in there that reminded me of a scene, that famous one where he's like under all that machinery and the water's coming down and he's thinking of all his relatives and who he's going to let down, so he lifts it up. And so I want to find out what's your favorite Spidey moment, Spidey issue?
That's a good week for that.
Hashtag Spidey of Doom.
No.
You were supposed to pick the question this week and you didn't.
No, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, last week you're like, I want to pick the question of the week.
Well, you never reminded me that I wanted to do it.
I don't remember not reminding you. That's hearsay. We need to get into the show right now.
Okay.
What did you read this week?
What we were just talking about. Spider-Men.
Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Multiple Spider-Mans.
Multiple Spider-Mans, yes. Make Spider-Men.
What's happening? What is this book?
So we get, so for some reason, we have this situation where Spider-Man is just minding his own business, web-slinging, fighting crime. Mm-hmm. And he sees Mysterio in some place, and there's a machine.
He's always causing trouble.
He's causing trouble. He sees a he's like, who is this? Then he sees the fishbowl head, and he's like, oh. But for some reason, Mysterio seems to think that Spider-Man shouldn't be there. And so something happens, and then he happens to meet another Spider-Man.
Yeah, this is the big crossover between Ultimate Spidey and regular Spidey.
Yep.
They didn't really meet a whole lot in this issue.
No, they just
kinda
meet.
Kind of bummed.
Everybody only meets once.
I know, but I was kind of hoping that there'd be like an interaction.
You know, I was really pleased with just what we got. Like, it was a lot of, it was a fun Spider-Man thing, and they didn't really plug it as an event, like it's a crossover, but not really an event book. So, and it felt, you know, it felt like
it's on its own. It's its own thing.
Yeah. And it felt, you know, it felt like that and it felt fun. The one thing though, I couldn't stop thinking about was, did you ever play, you don't play games. You play games.
I play games.
Did you ever play Shattered Dimensions?
No.
Spider-Man,
that's the one.
Spider-Man
where
Shattered Dimensions.
It's, I know of it. Yeah.
It's vaguely reminiscent.
Really?
Plot device.
You could be Spider-Man 2099 in that game, couldn't you?
You could be. And you could be Ultimate Spider-Man before he died.
I remember buying that comic when it came out. Remember the 2099 line? Do you remember that? Ghost Rider, Punisher, X-Men.
I'm vaguely familiar with it.
What was Spider-Man's real name? It was like Miguel something.
Yeah, Miguel Ortiz or something like that.
Something like that. But it's funny because I, being the, I don't know, I know of news, like comic news happening, and I remember reading about this, and I was like, okay, maybe I'll read it. And it was, for me, it was kind of short. It was the art was fantastic. Sarah Pichelli, her art is stunning.
Yeah,
so I was hoping that it would be like an oversized issue, and because I know that this story is happening where they're going to meet, but they only meet, spoiler, briefly at the end. But, you know, I follow the Comixology tweets all day. People loved it. You know, I'm the odd man out. Everyone loved it. That guy.
Yeah, I loved it, and it's really, it was just kind of short and sweet and like very, it was just very Spider-Man.
Planetoid.
How was that? I was like looking at the cover and wanting to read it.
Number one, Planetoid. I'm a big Image number one guy. I like trying out the new Image books. So they're exciting and new. They're $2.99, and it's like no brainer. You know, click, add to cart, buy. That's what I do. It's about this guy, Silas. It's done by one guy, Ken Garing. He did it all. So it's about this guy, Silas, who was a soldier now turned smuggler. and the book opens where he's nearing this planet and his ship is drawn to it, so he crashes on the planet. And it's about him. It reminds me of Prophet. Like, he comes to the planet, he's starting to walk around and investigate the planet, see what it's all about, and he encounters various like rogue robots. Like, there's a robot in this lake. It's cool because he walks around and he activates this thing called Richter. It's like Siri. So he talks to this character and gives him his body temperature, like the temperature of the planet, you know, if there's life forms around. So he goes into this lake and there's like this big kind of Loch Ness monster, but it's a robot. It's like a snake, but it's robotic. So everything he encounters, it's like this huge industrial landscape, big buildings, machinery everywhere. So he finds out that this planet has this weird magnetic pull to it, so that it's been pulling anything within its orbit to the planet. So that's why there's all this junk around it. So it's going to be hard for him to figure out how to leave the planet, because if he even builds a ship, it's just going to get sucked right back to the planet. It's really great. I loved it. There's a lot of great art direction where it's just him walking around and searching the area. It's gorgeous.
That sounds really interesting.
$2.99. Grab it. It's my pick. It's my pick of the week.
Sounds like something that would make a good video game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Planetoid. Coming to your Xbox. Or PS3 if you're a loser.
Shut up.
What else did you read?
I want to talk about... I talked about one beginning. Now I want to talk about an ending.
So sad.
Incorruptible final issue.
Did you cry? Be honest.
I kind of wanted to cry, actually, when I read it.
What's happening in Incorruptible these days? I've actually never really read it.
So, Incorruptible, for those people who don't know, Incorruptible follows the rehabilitation of and you know, redemption of a former of the Plutonian from Irredeemable, one of his like former nemesis. Like, when the Plutonian goes bad, Max Danger is his name. He decides that it's a sign that he actually should be good, and so he decides to fight the Plutonian and also do good for people. And he like makes very, very strict like moral guidelines for himself, like very black and white. And so he kind of, the whole series is like him meeting former like supervillain teammates and trying to bring them to his cause, and they only cause trouble. And he finds out that, you know, living in a black and white world is you just can't do, like, you know, he learns more and more that you just can't do that. Mm-hmm. Even though he's trying to redeem himself. So, Irredeemable's over. In this issue, about halfway through, we see the end of Irredeemable happen.
Oh, okay.
While he's somewhere else. Like, literally, he's expecting that he's going to die with everybody else. And he's become like the sheriff of this town, and because
half the earth is like decimated, or half a planet in this universe, hasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of the earth is decimated. The Plutonians caused a radioactive like cloud.
Good for him.
That is slowly going over the planet and just killing everybody.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So, you know, this town is the town that he's sheriff of is expecting that they're going to die, and so he decides. And he decides to tell them the truth, that it's going to happen. And what happens is, like, everybody freaks out, and then it turns into a mob, and everybody starts killing each other.
Oh, goodness.
And he's like, I just wanted to let you know, I didn't want you to die in, like, stupidity and ignorance.
Sounds like a pretty depressing end to the series.
Well, that's how the issue begins. And then he makes a speech, and then everybody stops fighting. And he also breaks somebody's arms off. And it's like the whole thing is about, it's like speeches. He's like giving rousing speeches on like how, you know, they're going to go out and, you know, be the best people they can be. And that he's learned that you can't live in a black and white world because, you know, black and white is no way to be. And then all of a sudden, like, the sky flashes, and then he gets a call from somebody, and he's like, and it's like, the radioactive cloud's gone. And he's like, okay, cool. And it's like, he didn't do it. Nothing happens in it. Like, he figures things out and he becomes a good guy, and the world, you see the world like after Plutonian is gone for a little while, and it's a much happier place.
I remember the only thing I remember about Incorruptible Dude was that he wore kind of like jeans and he tucked them into like his boots.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good fashion thing for me.
Don't tell
personally
hipsters in Williamsburg that. Well, the one best thing about this book, though, is there's a superhero named Hate Crime.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls herself that because she hates crime.
Oh, my Lord.
I love that. That's like my favorite thing ever.
I want to talk a little bit about Brian Wood.
Ooh.
You heard about this guy?
I've heard about him.
He just recently took over Ultimate X-Men. I'm not going to call it Ultimate Comics X-Men. I like Ultimate X-Men. And regular X-Men, adjectiveless, in the regular universe.
I smell a crossover.
Two books that I didn't read previously. Two books that I am going to pick up now after I read the first issue of each. The Ultimate Comics X-Men has been revolving around Kitty Pryde, but she wore like this weird costume.
She was wearing like a cloak, right?
It was really stupid.
And she was like, I'm going to wear a giant cloak and then walk through things. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't get it either. So it starts out with her, you know, and what's happening in this mutant Ultimate Universe is the president has just like given over power to the lower southern states, to Sentinels, to like take over the mutant population there. So they're just running that whole section.
Right. Mutants aren't mutants, right?
They are mutants, but it's been revealed in this universe that the government created them. So they're not kind of like an evolutionary step, I don't think. I mean, they might be, but the government sped it up. So now it starts out with her putting on that cloak, and I was like, she's going to be wearing this cloak in this book still? And then it turns into this, like, she's going through her head about, you know, I've been hiding under this cloak. She's like, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to, you know, show my face. I'm going to do it and work for the betterment of mutant kind. So she takes off the cloak and she's wearing like this jumpsuit that I can only imagine that Brian Wood designed, because it looks like great. And that's her new costume now, like this skin tight kind of running jumpsuit. And now she's kind of like a freedom fighter for mutants. So now she talks to Bobby, Iceman, Wolverine's son, Jimmy Hudson, and another character, and like, we need to go to this area to help the mutants out. Like, we can't stay here anymore and be safe and guard these kids. So there was a conflict about her taking the X-Men and leaving these children that need protection. And I had always been weirded out that Johnny Storm was a member of the team. Like, he was a member of the X-Men.
Well,
so in this new Brian Woodian universe, Johnny Storm says, like, it's irresponsible of you to leave these kids, so I'm going to stay behind and watch these mutant kids. So he's kind of out of the picture now, which I'm in love with. So these few mutants, like, it starts out with them going cross-country to fight for mutant kind. And I think it's great. Like, you can tell that it's like a Brian Wood book, almost. Like, the design, some of the panels are very, you know, very clean and poignant, and you can tell that, like, he had his hand in that.
Well, and like, you know, Brian Wood is very all about road stories and
mm-hmm.
traveling across the country.
Right.
You know, exploring a nation.
So I enjoyed it.
Actually, it sounds kind of fun.
The X-Men book, it's like a Storm book now. So Storm hasn't been like a cool character in years, I don't think. So she's like back to being the badass leader. And it's actually like an all-women team except for Colossus. There's like four X-women on the team.
Yeah, but in the Ultimate Universe, he was gay, so that basically makes him a woman in the regular universe.
maybe he's going to be gay in this universe, too. He's bald now. I don't get what's going on with Colossus.
I don't know why being Juggernaut makes you bald.
Neither do I. Although, why did he have hair in the first place when he turned into Colossus, when you think about it?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. Every answer only raises more questions.
But it's cool because that book is cool now because it brings Storm to the forefront as being like this tough, confident leader, which I loved in the old Claremont stories.
Is she still married to...
She is, like, but it's not really addressed in this series.
There's like some weird stuff happening there. Like
in ABX, it is too. They're like fighting each other.
And Fantastic Four is going to be about...
I saw him on a cover. Yeah. Was it this week's book?
That's this week's book.
Did you read that?
I haven't read it yet, but I'm really curious about this whole thing because, you know, comic books, you know, like to annul marriages all the time now. Mm-hmm. So don't get married if you're a, you know, superhero, because especially in DC and Marvel.
It doesn't bode well for Northstar, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. Let's not talk about that one, though. That one's touching. Like, I don't want anybody, like, I'm really happy for that marriage,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want them to get married because I don't want Brand New Day to happen to him. Brand New Day should not happen to anybody, ever.
I don't think it's going to happen that soon.
You don't know.
I mean, he was, like, kidnapped in the last issue, and they're not even married. Like, he said no to the engagement, to the proposal, and then the next issue covers them getting married. So I wonder what the heck happens. Did you you read that issue? What did you think?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
I think the book is good.
I think it's good. I just feel, like, rushed into... Like, it's all, like, so... It's happening so fast. I would have said no, too, honestly.
It was pretty... I mean, North Star is not being a catch in that issue. He was kind of a jerk. Like, he thought the proposal was just going to solve all his problems. It was, like, totally obvious that he has no idea what he's doing. But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's apparently going to smooth it over in the next issue. So good for him.
Yeah. Good, yeah. With those pointy ears. He can get married. I'm glad.
Is it your... Do you have another new release or is it Golden Oldie time?
Golden Oldies.
All right. Golden Oldies is an older book that we read in the app.
Mm-hmm.
This week, last week I said I was going to read Wolverine Noir. And what were you going to read?
I was going to read some of Legends of the Dark Knight, and I said I wasn't going to read Venom, but
you lied.
I ended up reading like a couple issues that I was like about, and then all I wanted to do is read Venom.
How was it?
It's so good.
This is the story where they have like different creators come on and tell their story and just get off, and they bring up other ones. Right?
Well, Legends of the Dark Knight it's almost like a anthology. It feels like an anthology series.
Yeah, it's like a monthly anthology.
Well, I mean,
but it lasts longer.
Maybe anthology is not the right word. It's like the big creators of that time, are, you know, come on and do a story. It's like, you know, it can be a one and done. It can be a couple issues long, but you know, some great talent comes on and write for you know, to write and do art for this book. And so, and now they're, you know, the end of that series a few years back, like back in like, I think 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, they've revived it through comics,
which so far is doing great.
Yeah.
I love it.
That first issue was just amazing. So I went back and read, you know, there's some classic tales from there. And, one of them is Venom, which is about, Batman goes to save this girl.
Good for him.
And, he can't save her because there's this giant rock in the way and he can't lift it up, and then she dies. And he's stricken with grief, and he finds out that he can, you know, he finds somebody who gives him, who's like, I think they're using Venom. Something I can't remember, but he manages to get his hand on Venom and he decides that he's going to use it to become stronger, and that's the only way he'll be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns into a jerk. And he's like, he's really mean to Alfred, and that always pisses me off.
Doesn't he slap somebody around? Was it Alfred? I remember him doing a backhanded slap to somebody.
Yeah, he slaps Alfred. But then this military industrialist, or some guy in the military who, you know, he realizes that Batman is addicted to this, and so he takes advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, things happen, and then Batman comes to a realization that he is dependent on Venom and that he needs to get off of it. So he locks himself in the Batcave for a few months with like a little to no food. And he comes out and he's got a beard. He's like, John Hughes with like long nails.
It's such beard. It's such a great panel. Him coming out of the Batcave, and he literally looks like, you know, Hughes, where he's like thin and he's got this huge beard. And
Howard Hughes.
Yeah, Howard Hughes. And he literally stayed down there until it was out of his system. So fantastic.
It was like, it was crazy. So, and then he goes back and, you know, fights these evil, like, I think they were drug lords or something mm-hmm. like that. Without Venom, and he proves himself that he can do it.
It's a great one. Great story. Was that is that the very first arc of that title?
No, it's like a few arcs in. It's like one of the early ones.
Let's get into my Golden Oldie.
Yeah, tell me what you read.
Wolverine Noir.
Yes.
Have you ever read this?
No.
There was a period of time where Marvel did like four-issue miniseries under the Noir banner. So they all took place in like the 30s and the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an alternate universe. So in this one, Wolverine is a detective working under the company name of Logan & Logan. It's 1937. And he's, like, the best knife fighter in town.
Well, he's the best at what he does.
Absolutely. And so the other part of Logan is Dog. Dog is his partner in this agency. But Dog is, like, an idiot. Like, something's happened to him where he's not bright and he's a little slow.
Does he say, "You ain't no dog"?
No, he doesn't say that.
Oh.
So Wolverine, something has happened in Wolverine's past that he feels responsible for Dog's current state, but he hates him. And it's gorgeous. C.P. Smith did the art, and he, you might have read one Wolverine one-shot where Wolverine, it was right after Millar's run, where Wolverine had to protect this, like, president's daughter, and he runs through, like, this war zone.
Oh, that one, love
the
that
arrows
one.
In his back.
That's actually, like, if you would have named any other issue, I would have been like, I don't know, but that one, actually, I read, and I remember really liking it.
It's the same creative team, so same writer and artist that did this. So this one, Wolverine is hired by Mariko. You know, his love interest from the old comic books. And
sounds very Chinatown.
Sabretooth is in it, but he just goes by the name Creed. So he's trying to figure out... You know,
Wolverine's a mutant, right? In this?
No.
Okay, so he's just a knife fighter.
He's just a knife fighter, yeah. He had his gardener in, you know, when he was younger, taught him how to fight with knives, so he's got this tool that he can put in between his hands so it looks like he has claws. So... something has happened in his past. He's, you know, he's super guilty about it. And Rose is involved, obviously, if you've read Wolverine Origins. He meets Yuriko, you know, the ninja assassin mm-hmm. that he falls in love with. And the backstory that they tell, it's revealed that he was in love with Rose, but Dog was always kind of a jerk to him, and he was pulling pranks, and they fought a lot. So when he was about to... go tell his true feelings to Rose, he found her and Dog making out, and he was like, he freaked out, and then he went to go strike Dog with his knives, and it like irreparably damaged Dog, so they ran away together because they didn't want to get in trouble. So that's how he took over caring for Dog. And there's a backstory that I don't want to reveal because it was a huge reveal and a twist on the original Wolverine origin that was fantastic. So I recommend getting it.
Huh. That sounds very interesting.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Now in the noir universe, does everybody have powers, right?
As far as I know, they do not.
Yeah. Cause Marvel does that every once in a while where they tell like an alternate universe story where nobody has powers.
Mm-hmm. There was a series called Powerless, I think, that they did too. And Wolverine had, like, the cover was, like, Wolverine's hand, but with a mechanical strap on his hand with claws.
Was that, like, regular universe, or was
that... No, it was just some other...
Yeah, because they did Five Ronin, too, and, like, I was reading through it, and I was like, nobody has powers in this. I don't want to read it anymore.
Hmm.
For some reason, like, it turned me off. But I kind of actually want to go and read Five Ronin, which I might do now.
We have that in the app.
We do, and I might go read it as my Golden Oldie.
Oh, yeah, so will that be officially your Golden Oldie?
That'll be my Golden Oldie.
I'm going to read Halcyon. By Image Comics.
Halcyon.
5 issues, I think. Fantastic book. You know, what happens if superheroes win and there's no crime?
The book ends.
You have to read to find out, my friend.
There's actually no book there. It's actually just...
it's just a cover page and blank pages afterward. So this week's Twitter question, what is your favorite Spidey moment, Spidey comic book? Do you have one?
There are a lot for me.
What's one of your top three?
You're going to have to give me a minute to think about
it. Okay. I'll run down some of the hashtag Spidey of Doom. At Slim on the Twitter. Good looking guy. Shed. Zeb Wells. Chris Bocciolo. I love
that
Shed.
That was the best Gauntlet story arc. That was the best thing that came from Brand New Day, probably. It was so intense.
There was one where... I can't remember if it's what the one in the snow was.
The one in the snow, that was the one where he's fighting the Aztec god.
Yeah, his interactions with Black Cat in that book were fantastic.
Yeah.
Med Murph de Mangler on the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 316 with Venom. Early Venom stories cannot be beaten. I grew up on those early Venom stories, like Maximum Carnage right before that. With like him and Carnage fighting on the cover. Oh God.
Maximum Carnage. I went and we have that nap and I was reading a little bit of it when we came out with it and no.
You're shaking your head.
Well, I mean, I played because I loved the video game that mm-hmm. like actually tortured me because it was the hardest thing ever.
I don't know if it holds up now.
It does not hold up.
I mean, the Maximum Carnage like mini like event was like 30 issues, I think.
It was so long, and there were so many characters that I was like, "Who is that? Where is this person now?"
Spider-Man had like 8 titles back then. Like, it was insane. Jason1749 on the Twitter, Kraven's Last Hunt.
I figured that was coming.
We got a lot of that.
You know, Grim Hunt was really. I thought Grim Hunt was really well done, except for the fact that like they basically retold Kraven's Last Hunt.
Was that the one with his daughter?
Yeah.
I don't think I've read that one.
That was
in the Brand New Day.
Yeah,
era, right?
It's really good. Like they do. Actually, they did some interesting things. That if you read Grim Hunt, you'll be like, why did they bring this person in? But it like they did a good job setting all that stuff up. Like I actually was very I was pleasantly surprised with it. But it was basically there was a lot of like Kraven's Last Hunt stuff that happened. Except he comes back to life instead of dies.
Kraven's Last Hunt is has historic covers. I think that's a big part of why people love it, when he's, like, coming out of the grave.
Yeah, and then there's also the fact that it's just, like, such an awesome story.
I guess. Maybe that's part of it. Who knows? Escape Pod Comics, Aunt May's death, Spidey of Doom, and his awkward posture as he thanked, what's his name, for removing his powers.
What?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember that part. I remember him, like, revealing... that he's Spider-Man, and then she says
she knew. What a great... That was so great. And then it was revealed that it wasn't... It revealed it wasn't Aunt May.
It was an actress.
Yeah. God.
And then the Green Goblin was the clone or
that's
something.
That's comics for you. I remember that cover.
And Gwen Stacy. Don't forget Gwen Stacy.
Dude, Mark Bagley's art back then, he did everything fantastic for Spider-Man. I grew up on his Spider-Man.
Yeah, good stuff.
Ad Custom on the Twitter. I'm a pushover for a good romance. Peter and MJ's Getting Hitched is my pick. Bow chicka bow wow on the Twitter.
Is that hashtag bow chicka wow wow?
No, it is not.
Oh, it should be.
Let's see. Consequently, the One More Day story is horrendous, he says.
Well, yeah.
No comment.
If there's an argument against straight marriage, it's that. Because you can have your marriage annulled by the devil, obviously. So, sorry, straight people, only get gay married.
Box Watcher, the end of Spider-Man Wolverine one-shot, I think by Roger Stern, heartbreaking stuff.
Which one?
The Spider-Man Wolverine, I think the cover is with them kind of like fighting. It might have been I don't think it was a Marvel Comics Presents, it was its own thing. I haven't read that in years, so I can't recall. Kraven's Last Hunt from Shroud Ripper and Torment, Todd McFarlane.
Oh, yeah, Torment. I almost forgot about that one.
We have that one, yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Let's see.
That was when... that wasn't that.
That was when he relaunched Spider-Man with the number one. It was the first time Spider-Man.
Well, it was just Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was itself.
It wasn't the Amazing Spider-Man.
Kraven's Last Hunt, again, from Ramsden on the Twitter.
Man, everybody loves that.
Let's see. Always loved reading Spidey versus the Sinister Six growing up as a kid. W. Bandoy. I think that was my era, too. I remember I grew up with Eric Larson's Spider-Man when he was fighting the Sinister Six, and the Sandman was glass. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end of that arc, he wanted revenge against Doc Ock, so he shot his glass body at Doc Ock and, like, cut him up and basically almost killed him. It was dark stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to say my favorite moment now. Mm-hmm. You just made me think of, like, one of my favorite kind of twists to, like, the Spider-Man, like, mythos.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 600, when Doc Ock is at the doctor's office and it's revealed that he's going to die because he has no superpowers and he's been hit by Spider-Man too many times.
That was the reason?
Yeah. The reason
originally
was
revealed.
The reason that he is dying is because he, like, his body is basically like, it's just dying because he has no superpowers and he keeps getting pummeled by a super powered person. And so he's taken so much, he has like brain damage. He's taken so much damage. Like he's just going to die.
That's depressing.
It was amazing. Like I was like, that makes sense. That's like the one thing in comic books that's ever made sense. I mean, he should have died before that then, but
yeah. Patrick Titus of the comic book shop in Delaware. You should shop there. Amazing Spider-Man 121 and 122, Death of Gwen Stacy. So good. I recently reread that, and there's an odd scene. I hope we can get it on the app soon. There's an odd scene where Harry is like a drug addict, and he's tripping and is freaking out and asking for Pete. And I think he's in costume as Spider-Man, but Harry is like so out of his mind that he doesn't realize it. So he asks Pete for help, and Pete leaves him to go help Gwen Stacy. So he leaves, like, his freaking out best friend Harry as he's, like, going out of his mind with drugs to go get Gwen. And it was such an odd scene, especially the era that that book was printed in.
Yeah, that's such a weird
everything. But that Gwen Stacy dying, I mean, that's, like, the greatest moment in comics where, like, he doesn't realize or is curious if he's responsible for her death, snapping mm-hmm. her neck.
Yeah, it's one of the more traumatic deaths.
Absolutely. They don't make him like that anymore.
Her father's death was pretty dramatic too.
And he knew that he was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Think he's going to die in the new movie? He's nodding yes, folks. Hashtag Spidey of Doom. I actually, if I missed yours, I only saved the search for hashtag Spidey of Doom. So use the hashtag, you know, to get your name on the show.
Get those hashtags.
What a show.
Yeah.
What a show.
What a show. So much Spider-Man too.
We didn't even talk about Batman. Batman number 10, because it's so spoilerific, we decided not to talk about it.
Right. And we didn't talk about how amazing Amanda Conner's art is in Silk Spectre.
Spectre.
Right.
Give it 5 stars?
I give her art, like, right from page 1, 5 stars.
Wow. Page 1, 5 stars.
No, page 2, maybe.
That could be a record, I think.
Page 2. Let's not go crazy here. Or let's go crazy. Dance party.
I'll see you next week.